Ruth is a story of redemption. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful book to be studied and looked at. There's so many things to look at in the Old Testament, and so many stories and the lessons from those stories do not get told and do not get examined often enough. Paul once said that what took place in the Old Testament served as an example for us. We should be able to look at the events, for instance, in the lives of Moses or in the lives of David and Joseph and Joshua, and we should learn something from them. And we can see in them what to imitate and what not to imitate. And that's how it is with the story of Ruth. It's a story of redemption. We see how Ruth and Naomi went from having nothing, from having less than nothing, actually, from having lost everything, to finally living in the blessings of God. You know, this didn't happen just because Ruth and Naomi got lucky one day. It was just a roll of the dice. You know, as we saw last week, it happened because they put themselves in position to be blessed by God. And you can follow that example. In chapter 2, the story continues. This evening we'll meet someone else, someone new, another character in this story. His name is Boaz. He's a wealthy landowner. He's Naomi's relative. He's referred to as the kinsman redeemer. And the significance of this title will begin to come into play next week. But this week, he's just Boaz. He's just a man who owns a wheat field. Naomi and Ruth are now living in Bethlehem. They don't have any money or any income. Years before, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, had mortgaged their property during a famine, and it probably was done to pay off the debts. I think Elimelech's plan was to go to Moab, earn enough money to come back and buy his property back, but it didn't happen. So now Naomi and Ruth are now in Bethlehem, two poor widows who are trying to get along. And they do get by very well because Ruth is able to step up to God's provision. And in doing so, she gives us an example to follow. Now, how many of you would like take a permanent step into God's provision? You know, to be in the place where He leads you and guides you and directs you and protects you and blesses you and provides for you day in and day out. You know, do you want to be there? Well, then we need to look at Ruth's story. We learn how to step into God's provision. So let's take a look at chapter 2 here this evening. But in order to experience God's provision in your life, you need to be willing to do three things. The first of these is, you need to take the first step. Now that seems perfectly obvious, I guess, but we need to state the obvious sometimes because people miss the obvious. Verse 2 here, when we take the first steps, opens the door to God. Verse 2:2, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Now the barley harvest was just beginning here in Israel. And so every day the fields were full of reapers who were cutting down the stalks and they were tying them into bundles. And according to Israelite law, poor people could follow behind the paid workers and they could pick up whatever bits of barley that got left behind. And they purposely left the corners unclean. And this was the way that they developed a welfare program in the nation of Israel. From the very beginning, God took care of those by providing different things. And in this case, it was the grain in the field. Now, obviously, you have to go out to do it, though. It wasn't just because it's set in the field didn't mean that somebody was going to cut it and bring it to you. Part of it was that you had to go out in the field, follow the workers, or go in the corners and get this grain. And this was called gleaning. And it was hard work. There was no pay involved. Of course, you just got to keep whatever barley that you picked up. It wasn't safe either, particularly for a young single woman to spend the day working in a field of tall barley. Among those stalks were the workers who were mostly transient or poor and who probably didn't have much sensitivity, particularly toward foreign women, and it put Ruth in a vulnerable situation. The work was demanding, it was risky, and yet it was work that Ruth could do, and so she took the first step here, and she went and done it. You know, she took the initiative for creating change in her life. Many people are content when they need something from God to do nothing. They just wait. And that's not how it works. There's an old Latin proverb that says, "Providence assists not the idle." If you want to experience the provision of God, you must take the first step. Now, Ruth realized that gleaning wasn't ideal work. It wasn't a permanent solution to their financial problems, but it was a step in the right direction. And it was a step that she could take. And that's what we need to do. You know, we need to ask ourselves, what can I do to get this process started? Even if it's not a permanent solution, what steps can I take that will begin to open the door to new possibilities? And that's exactly what happens. When you start taking those first few steps of faith, you open the door to a lot of good things to start happening in your life. For example, you open the door to those God-ordained coincidences. You know, have you ever had those things happen in your life? Those God-ordained coincidences? You know the kind of thing here that is going to happen to Ruth. The Bible says here in verse 3, "So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz." As it turned out. You know, as the King James Version says. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And you can translate that phrase, "and it so happened," or "as luck would have it." The writer of Ruth uses this phrase accordingly here to emphasize that this is one of those coincidences that aren't really a coincidence. You see, the circumstances of God are beginning to work on Ruth's behalf simply because she took the first step and she went to do what she could do. And when you take the first step, you also open the door to God bringing the right people into your life. It was because Ruth was willing to work in the field that she met Boaz. Boaz was the owner of the field, and he arrived on the scene late in the morning, took one look at Ruth, apparently couldn't think of anything else from that moment on. Taking the first step opens the door for us. Ruth 2:5-9, Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" And the foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girl. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars that the men have filled." Then a bit later, we see here in verses 14 through 16, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. And as she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." Now it sounds to me like Boaz was a little smitten here with Ruth. You know, what do you think? You know, whether or not his feelings were romantic, they certainly were affectionate here. Ruth was part of his extended family. He went out of his way here to care for her. And for whatever reason, Ruth immediately found favor with this man. And he became a blessing in her life. There are people out there who can be a blessing in your life, but they'll never find you if you're hidden at home holding in a holding pattern, doing nothing at all. Take the initiative, take the first step, start moving in the direction, and God will bless. This way, seemingly insignificant events, everyday encounters will take on a new meaning because God is behind them. If you want to step into the provision of God, here's the second thing that you must do. You need to remain humbly grateful. Have you ever noticed that some people think that the universe owes them? Or the government owes them something, or everyone around them owes them something. Some employees think their employer owes them everything simply by showing up. Warren Wiersbe said, "If our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same, then we will become worse. God's purpose in providence is not to make us comfortable, but to make us conformable. Conformable to the image of His Son." Some people live with this sense of entitlement. But when you look at Ruth, you see the opposite of entitlement. When Boaz told her she could work safely in the fields and the men would leave her alone and she could have water whenever she wanted, see, verse 10 says, "At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?'" And Boaz said, basically, "I've heard many good things about you." And her response then was in verse 13, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." Now, Ruth was humbly grateful. Now, she didn't say, it's about time that I started getting some respect around here. She didn't say, "What took you so long?" She didn't say, "Is that all you're going to do for me?" And she didn't say, "Whatever," She just said, "Thank you." And she meant it. I heard a story about a grandmother who was watching her grandchild play on the beach when a huge wave rolled in and it carried him out to sea. And the grandmother cried out, "Please, God, save my only grandson. I beg of you, bring him back." And suddenly a big wave came along and it washed the boy back onto the beach just good as new. And she looked up to heaven and she said, "He had a hat." Huh? I think we're like that sometimes. God brings good things in our lives, and our attitude isn't from thanks for everything. It's like thanks for nothing. And when we go through difficult times, we have a habit of asking, "Why me?" And when we go through blessings, we should also remember to ask, "Why me?" It helps us to remain humbly grateful for all that He has done. If you want to see more of God's provision in your life, say thank you more often and mean it. Turn down this attitude of entitlement and turn up this attitude of humble gratitude. Now, here's the third thing you need to be willing to do in order to step into the provision of God. You need to practice consistent persistence. When Ruth asked Boaz why she had found such favor in his eyes, Boaz said this, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. See, it wasn't just what Ruth that Ruth showed up in the field that day and said, "Okay, I'm here. It's time to be blessed." She had already established a pattern in her life here, looking out for her elderly mother-in-law. And to the extent that others had heard about it, her care for her mother-in-law must have been exceptional, because the word had already gotten to Boaz about it. And when Boaz showed the kindness to Ruth, Ruth was reaping the harvest of her kindness to Naomi. And Ruth consistently sowed the seeds of blessing in the lives of others, so it stands to reason that eventually her harvest would come. And Boaz uses the words repay and reward here. You know, walking in the provision of God isn't a matter of getting something for nothing. It's a matter of getting everything for everything. Now, in other words, you get all that God has to give in exchange. You give Him all that you have to give. If your everything could be measured, it wouldn't be enough to fill a thimble. And if God's everything could be measured, it would fill the ocean to overflowing. Now, your everything may not be all that much, but you have to give it all in order to get the blessing of God. It's not just a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. The Bible says, "So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening, and then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephod." So that's about a week's worth of barley. So what did Ruth do? She got a week's worth of barley. The first day she went out. So, hey, got the week off. Right? Come back next week. No, she was there in the field the next day and the next until the end of the harvest. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. God wants you to develop a quality of consistency. You know, consistent persistence. That's what He's asking from us. You know, this means you live each day to the best of your ability, day after day after day, and you stay with Him to the very end. You know, the more consistent you are and the longer you persist, the more you are bringing blessings back into your life. You know, Ruth got a week's worth of food her very first day in the field. But she didn't use that as an excuse then to coast. She kept right on working consistently, persistently, making it possible for God to provide all that she needed. Now this evening's message is called Stepping into God's Provision, and the key word is step. It means that it's your move. You're the one that has to do it. You know, you may have to take a risk. You may have to break a sweat. You may have to do something short-term until something long-term comes in, but it's up to you to take the initiative. And some people take the first step as they should, and when things start going their way, they say, "Well, look at me, look what I've done." Make sure you don't do that. When you take the first step and God's blessing sends blessings your way, remember to say thank you. Remember to stay humbly grateful. And remember that when the blessings start, it's not yet time to coast. It's time to keep on. Consistent persistence. And that's what God is looking for. Do the best that you can do day after day. Give your thimble full every day, so that He can pour out that ocean of blessing in your life. This is how you step into God's provision.